Church, hallelujah. If you know that he knows your name, can you celebrate him better? You are his own. You belong to him. And if you are his and you belong to him, it therefore means there's no battle, no fight, no war that is yours. It's his. And so he will fight on your behalf. And you will enjoy the victory. If you are in church, can I hear amen?
Amen.
Please be seated. We'll do something quickly before we hear the word. We want to, in a very short while, welcome some persons. MD, you're welcome. Yeah, good to see you. I want to welcome some persons in church. Some persons in church into some departments. So we want to welcome them. We want to pray for them. So there are persons that are joining the choir new. Okay, so let's celebrate her. Is it one or two or many people? Let's celebrate them. Oh, come quickly. We don't have time. God bless you. Me, I don't like shaking hands. So president will come and shake hands with you people. Have you? All right. God bless you. You're welcome. God bless you. And there are also some persons that are joining the ushering department. New. Let's celebrate ushers now. Yes. God bless you. Where's the head of usher? What about the other sister? She's not around. Okay, all right. Praise the name of the Lord. When the choir was singing, I was saying, I said this on our women fellowship choir. You know, that song, I was in my spirit, I was hearing one serious voice that is giving that song bars at the back, but the voice was not there. So, brothers, let's step up. Brother Methuselah. But Methuselah, come. I'm inaugurating you into the choir. Come. Pastor has just promoted you this morning. Yes. God bless you. If not that I know Dr. Oyibo, I would have said that he is your father. Because you people want to stay until they say, come! Praise the Lord. You have overstayed. Eh? The Lord told the children of Israel, how long will you dwell on this mountain? Oya, move! So we welcome Brother Methuselah into the choir. MD, if I don't see him next Sunday in the choir, who are you responsible? So let's stretch out our hands and thank God for these brethren who are joining different units in the church. Let's pray that the Lord will give them the grace, the enablement. It's not easy, but with God's grace, it is very, very easy. That they will not be found wanting, or that the Lord will use them mightily to bless his church. That as they serve, the Lord himself will reward them. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Father, we say thank you for these sons and daughters of yours that you have brought to join departments in TCRC. We ask that, Father, grace to serve, release upon them in Jesus' name. Amen. These ones, O God, our Father, like never before, they will serve you selflessly. They will serve you gracefully. Their service, O God, will rise up to you like a sweet-smelling savor. Take all the glory, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Congratulations. Handshake. As you shake a president, congrats. Aha. God bless you. All right. Go and ever shake. God bless you, sir. Amen. Next Sunday will be our prayer service. It's the first Sunday in the month of August. I thought somebody would put their hands together for the Lord. And our theme for that prayer service is a cry for mercy. A cry for mercy. The Lord will show you mercy. Remember that guy, Jesus was passing by. See, Jesus, son of, do what? And my father in the Lord taught us one thing, and I went through the scripture and I noticed God does not ignore the cry for mercy. There are a lot of prayers you can pray and miss, but when you just pray that simple prayer, have mercy on me, the Lord will hear you. And no matter how sinful a man is, there's one prayer that even the worst sinner, when he prays, God hears. It's have mercy upon. The Lord will show us mercy. For not so much saying amen, God will show you mercy. Amen. Hey, oh, you are saying amen now. So a cry for mercy. That will be our theme for next month's prayer service coming up next Sunday. Please don't miss it. Don't miss it. And then we'll be having our communion service on the 12th of August. 12th of August is a Wednesday. And this time around, the communion service is that communion for divine favor. After that communion, favor will become your name. Amen. So you don't have to miss it. Those who have not been coming for our midweek service, I implore you in the name of the Lord. Service is not only on Sunday. This week, midweek service, may we fool like this first. May we just try whether it go work. Just tell yourself, this week, midweek service, I go just try go. Make I see. What thing they do for that midweek service? The time is 5 o'clock. 5 to 6.30. 5 to 6.30. So let's be here and the Lord will bless us in Jesus' name. Alright. Now, let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Just talk to him. Say, Father, I'm in your presence. I'm in your presence. Just say, Father, speak to me. Father, speak to me.
Hallowed be your name. 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 Sing, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Sing our Father. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name.
Father, we bless your name. We hallow your name. We thank you for the month of August. Thank you for bringing us to the last Sunday in the month of August. Lord, we are grateful. And we pray this morning that as we hear your word, Father, speak to our hearts. And let your word, O God, find expression in our lives. Father, grant that we'll be transformed by your word. Let your word heal. Let your word deliver. Let your word encourage. Let your word rebuke us. Let your word reprove us. Let your word correct us. Let your word strengthen us. Let your word build us up. Thank you, gracious Father. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Turn to somebody by your right. Tell the person, I'm happy to see you. Are you sure you are telling somebody, I'm happy to see you? Tell the person, you look beautiful. Even if na man, tell her you look beautiful. Amen. Dr. Yibu, was your wife? Now your wife you tell. Okay, you told him. That's better. Your wife is protesting. That you should tell her. Praise God. Church, church, praise the Lord now. This morning, by the special grace of God, I want to look at something briefly and very, very important. Our theme for this season is taken from James 1:22. And by the special grace of God, we'll be doing a lot of study in the book of James as the Holy Spirit will permit us. So just like we have started, we'll continue to look at that book of James by the grace of God. And that is why this morning we took our reading from James chapter 1, just two verses, verse 26 and 27. Give us from that NIV. I like it when she read it from NIV. NIV. Thank you. Let's read it together, church. One to go. Verse 26. All right. Just hold on. This is how we're going to read it. You're going to personalize it. If I consider myself. Are you with me now? All right. Let's go. One to go. Oh, you are good students. You know where to put everything. Now let's go. Verse 27. One to go. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in Jesus' name. Briefly, we'll be looking at truths about true religion. Truths about true religion. Truths about true religion. In a country like ours, Nigeria, everybody seems to be what? Religious. Everybody. Whether you are in the Christian faith or not in the Christian faith, we are a very religious nation. So much so that even if you are applying for a job in Nigeria, they will ask of what? Talk to me, church. They will ask of your what?
Religion.
Your religion. I'm sure it's only in Nigeria, I don't know about other countries, that even in the commissioning of government projects, what do? They pray. And they commission it in the name of? In the name of God. Even if the person has not gone to church, the people that will gather them may not be of the same faith. But when it comes to that matter, everybody is religious. It's only in a country like Nigeria that we spend so much money sending people who don't even go to churches or to church. Yet, we send them for what? Pilgrimage. A very wonderful nation. Religious nation. And even as we are seated down here, all of us are here because we believe that we have a relationship with God. And we are all religious at the same time. I know somebody will say that, no, me, I'm not religious. Yes, I understand. Whether you are, you say you are not religious, or you say Christianity is not a religion, so I'm not religious, it's okay. I can coin the topic another way. Truths about true spirituality. Say you are a spiritual person. Abi? Uh-huh. Truths about true spirituality. We are very spiritual people in Nigeria. Very, very. And if there's any issue in this country that is so volatile, is the issue of religion. Because everybody seems to be religious. And one thing I discovered is that 90% of religious people in Nigeria just love the idea of being what? Religious. We see our churches on Sunday jam-packed with so big a crowd. Everywhere you go,
But the question is, how many of those persons truly know what it means to have a relationship with God? And that is what we want to look at briefly from those two verses that we read. We want to x-ray our religious activity, our religiosity. We want to x-ray our spirituality. We want to look inward and see if our religion is indeed the one that James described in verse 27 as pure and faultless. Pure and faultless. It's important. I check up the Greek word for religion or religious. It means to worship God. As simple as that, to worship God. We are all worshipers of God in one way or the other. But you see, there is a worship that God accepts. Look at what he said there. He said, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this. All right. Let me just share with us three marks of true religion. Three criteria for being truly in a relationship with God. Three. Number one, conversation. Number one, conversation. That's the first criteria. James 1:26. Give us verse 26 again. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. The first mark of a truly religious person, the first mark of a truly spiritual person, the first criteria that people will see, God will see and know that this fellow has met with God is in their conversation. That's the first mark. Conversation. You cannot meet God and your words remain the same. No, you can't. Whenever God touches the heart of a fellow, the next thing he touches is his mouth. The next thing he touches is his mouth. When God gives a fellow a new heart, the next thing he gives to that fellow is a sanctified tongue. So if you say that you have met with him and your heart has been transformed and yet you still have a filthy tongue, then we will ask the kind of God you met. Because there's no how a man's heart can be transformed and the tongue remains the same. No, there's no how. But we see a lot of people in church who are so religious yet with a filthy tongue. A lot of people in church, they pray in tongues, they sing in tongues, they shout in tongues, but just after the prayer, after all the 1 hour of blasting in tongues, the next moment what comes out of their mouth, you ask, is this the same person that just spoke in tongues? James is telling us that the first mark of a truly religious person is that there will be a change in the words that come out of his mouth. In Ezekiel 36:26, the Bible says, I will give you a new heart. I will take away the stony heart from you. I will give you a heart of flesh so that you'll be able to keep my commandments. But you see, when God gives you that new heart, the next thing he will do is that he will touch your mouth. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 4, 5, and 6. Thank you. He said, and the post of the door moved. Give us verse 5 because of our time. Verse 5. He said, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Next verse. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongues from off the altar. Verse 7 quickly. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this has touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Isaiah's problem was his mouth. He has been a prophet, yet a prophet with a filthy mouth. So it doesn't matter how long a man must have been in church. Maybe you can even preach better than whoever is preaching. Maybe you prophesy. Maybe you speak in tongues. Maybe you are full with spiritual gifts. But the Lord is saying there's a problem in your life. And that problem is what I call the Isaiah waiting now, syndrome. And what was Isaiah's wahala? His mouth. Isaiah recognized it in verse 5. He recognized that his problem. He said, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of what? Church, talk to me. A man of what? A man of unclean lips, and I dwell among people of unclean lips. You have been born again, I agree. You have met with Jesus, I agree. You are so religious, I agree. You come to church, I agree. It's a great thing that you sing in the choir. It's a great thing that you are an usher. It's a great thing that you belong to the council. You are a member of the council, you are a leader in the church. It's a great thing that you are a leader in the women fellowship, in the men fellowship, in the youth fellowship. Osama, if God were to weigh your words, if they see you after service in your department, if they see you after service in the streets, if they see you after service in your neighborhood, will your words represent Christ? That's the first mark of true religion. A lot of us, we are where we are because we have talked ourselves into where we are. A lot of us, the problem we are having in our marriages is because of our mouth. A lot of us, the problem we have in relationship is because of our mouth. A lot of us, why we cannot keep a relationship is because of our mouth. And when I'm talking about relationship, I'm not talking about you just hanging with somebody you want to marry. No, it's beyond that. There are people who are married and yet they cannot have a single friend that they can trust. Why? Because everybody that comes close to them, they use their mouth to tear them down. There are some of us, even our relatives cannot visit us, because our mouth have so brought them down that they say that one is no go area. Today we are going to ask God, you go cry to God, like this guy did. Father, touch my lips. Amen. Father, touch my lips. Some of us, what we need is not a physical healing. What we need is a healing of our tongue. I think I'm going to do a message that I will caption disease of the tongue. We'll do that shortly. It's a healing of our tongue. And I ask you, brother, sister, mommy, daddy, does your tongue need healing? Does your tongue need healing? Words are a mirror to your heart. Nobody knows what is in the heart of a man until he opens his mouth. Nobody. So your mouth is the direct access to your heart. And whenever you open your mouth, what is it that comes out? Matthew chapter 12, verse 34 and 35. Let's see what Jesus is saying here. Matthew 12, 34 and 35. He said, "Oh, generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." Next verse. "A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things." What are those things that come out of your mouth? They are a reflection of your heart. Can I say this? A man's mouth is as filthy as his heart. A man's mouth is as wicked as his heart. A man's words, they are as haughty as his heart. Of recent, if I may ask you, Salma, what's your heart revealing? Or rather, what are your words revealing? What are your words revealing? What are they revealing? Jesus said, your words cannot be better than the condition of your heart. Your words can never be better than the condition of your heart. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth does what? The mouth speaks. And let me say this. It is impossible, please write it down, to live a holy life with a filthy mouth. It is just impossible. It is impossible. You cannot live a holy life if your mouth is filthy. Holiness is not about activity. It's not about external dressing. No. No. There's nothing that pollutes the life of an individual like the mouth. Oh, yes. Nothing. The number one pollutant of a believer is his mouth. Is his mouth. Ephesians. Give us quickly Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3 to 4. Ephesians 5, 3 to 4. He said, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saint." You can see. Take us back. As becometh saint. There's no full stop. What is there? Not comma. What is there? Semicolon. It means he's still mentioning. Now, next verse. "Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient." Neither foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient. Thank you, ma'am. What do I want to show us? Take us back to the first verse. Look carefully. The first word there is what? Number one, fornication. The second one is what? The third one is what? Good. Now take us to verse 4. The first is what? Filthiness. Number two, foolish talking. Number three, jesting. I don't fornicate, but I am a jester. You are as impure as a fornicator. You look at the phone, they you say, that one. No. I am better than Allah. Look at what the Bible said. The Bible placed them side by side. The same way fornication contaminates the body, that's the same way foolish talking contaminates the body. That's the same way jesting contaminates the body. That's the same way filthy words contaminate the body.
When I graduated from the university, one night I went to visit a friend. Amen. I went to visit a friend. And in the night I was sleeping, around 2 a.m., it was as if the Lord tapped me and said, "Wake up." And I woke up. Prior to that moment, we used to sit together, watch what they call comedy. You know Nigerian comedy? We watch them. So, and then he started whispering to my ear how filthy watching comedy can be. And how it's paining the heart of God that they bring it even into the church and behind the altar. And somebody will stand behind the altar of God and raise up his hand and say, "Bros J." And the whole church will laugh. What is it called? Talk to me, church. What is it called? Jesting. And the Bible said, it's as filthy as fornication. It's as filthy as uncleanliness. It's as filthy as covetousness. And yet, if we see a fornicator in church, will suspend a fellow, but a jester will be celebrated, polluting the entire assembly with his jest. We are talking about pure religion. Number one is your word. How many people have you destroyed with your words? How many people have you put down with your words? You remember the other day that a sister was going through a problem that you did not even know. And then you become the microphone that amplified it. Pure religion. The first criteria, the first mark, his words, your conversation. A lot of us have to repent today and cry to God, "Father, save me from this, my mouth. Father, deliver me from this, my mouth." You see a believer outside, and then you see the way this believer will abuse and insult and curse people. You say, "Wow." And then he will come, "Let's lift up holy hands in worship." God help us in Jesus' name. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19. 10:19. "In multitude of words, they wanted not sin." Give us NLT. "Too much talk leads to sin." Too much talk. There are some of us, your problem is too much talk. You do talk. The one you know, you talk. The one you don't know, you talk. The one you understand, you talk. The one you don't understand, you talk. My mommy will tell us, "Choo, choo, choo, choo." Ask somebody, "Are you doing choo choo choo? You are too serious. Look at the pen. Tell the pen, are you doing choo choo choo?" If you truly want to live a holy life, check your words. If you truly want to know whether you are being transformed, check your words. If you truly want to know whether you have truly met with Christ, weigh your words. Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." Death and life are in the power of the tongue. He said, "They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." How many people have you killed with your tongue? No, you did not use gun. But you see, the number of people you have slain are more than the one Boko Haram has killed. With just your bullet. Every one of us will be judged by our words. James 4:11. Now let me show us something as we run up. Before you speak, think. Tell somebody, before you speak. Say, before you speak, think. Turn to another person. Say, before you speak, please think. Think before you speak. And that's what I want to show us. What does it mean to think before you speak? Think. Media, help us now. The think I want to give is an acronym. So number one is T. T is ask yourself, is it true? This thing I want to say, is it true? And if it is true, is it helpful? There are things that are true, but not helpful. If it is helpful, is it inspiring? Is it inspiring? If it is inspiring, is it necessary? Even though it seems necessary, is it kind? Is it kind? So before you speak, think. Think about it. Think about what you want to say. Think about what is coming out of your mouth before you release those words. Because words are like milk, like water. Once they are released, you cannot retrieve. You can't. You can't gather them back. What I want to say, is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? Is it kind? Ephesians 4:29. Ephesians 4:29. NLT, please. NLT. Ephesians 4:29. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Don't use foul and abusive language. Proverbs 16:24. Proverbs 16:24, NLT. Kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. Please help me preach to somebody. Tell the person, be kind with your words. Yeah. Yeah. Kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy to the body. We have two more of those marks of true religion, but we'll continue in the midweek service. So come on Wednesday if you want to hear the part B of this message. But before we say the prayer, the number two mark of true religion is compassion. Everybody say compassion. Compassion. Say it like you mean it. Say compassion. Compassion. James 1:27. Verse 27. Compassion. Compassion. Pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. Our God is a compassionate God. How compassionate are you? How do you show compassion as a believer? Some of us are so cruel and wicked. That even when a fellow believer is going through a crisis or an affliction, we look for definition to qualify it. Compassion. While on earth, Jesus was compassionate. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. He said, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, that he went about doing what? Healing the sick. Compassion. Whenever Jesus sees the multitude, the Bible says he was moved with compassion. Are you compassionate as a believer? True religion is characterized by compassion. Let's wrap it up here. Give us this scripture quickly. Let's just read them and then we pray. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 8. 1 Peter 3 verse 8. Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. Having compassion one of another. We have people in the church who may be going through some dire needs. You see them, you rather laugh. You see that sister, if they come with only one cloth, come church. Since I know I'm only that shoe, I never say I'm changed shoe. Eh? You say having compassion one of another. 1 John chapter 3, verse 17. 1 John 3, 17. 1 John 3, 17. But whoso had this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Give us in NIV or NLT. If anyone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? How? Put me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Put me oil in my lamp, I pray. Put me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till death. One more time. Put me oil.
Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning.
We are praying. Bow down your heads. Let's sing it one more time for the last time.
Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning.
The Lord wants us to burn with the boils of compassion.
Give me oil in my lamp.
He wants us to burn with kind words. Words that encourage. Words that lift. Words that build. And not words that tear down.
Give
wants us to bomb with words.